Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, family businesses that pass from one generation to the next have a special quality that other businesses, they just don't have, do they? And I'm joined this morning by a father and son team who get along royally, I presume, as they run Duffy Bookbinders. Tommy Duffy and the dad, Tom, are here to give us an insight into their working relationship and the world of bookbinding, which is already feels like a lovely place to dwell this morning. Tom and Tommy, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Nice. Thanks for having us.
Over.
Tom, you're the owl fella.
I'm the owl fella.
I'll come to you first.
I'm the one who's here longest.
Tommy here beside your son would be fourth generation, so you're
and I would be third generation.
You're the third generation. Yeah. So where does it begin? The story
of
Duffy.
Okay, well, it begins back. My grandfather Paddy served his time in Dollard's. Dollard's was a printing house right beside where the Clarendon's Hotel would be. And in fact, if you go around onto Essex Street, the old sign is still up over the door of Dollard's. You know?
Go away. Okay.
And in those days,
I know it.
These were, just past the porterhouse, you'd see.
There's a Dollard & Co., isn't there?
That's
a cafe
is.
Or a restaurant.
That was called
name.
After it and all that sort of thing.
That was the printing district, was it?
That was a printing district. There was a number of small printers throughout Temple Bar. Lovely. Eustace Street, all these. There were a lot of small printers there throughout the thing. You know, and then as the years moved on, it became impossible to be bringing trucks and this and the other to town, and they all moved out.
But the first of the Duffys,
was
serving
Paddy.
His time.
He was serving his time in Dollard's, as I say, on the quays, and then the War of Independence or the Rising came, 1916, and Paddy was very much involved. He had been involved with Lawrence O'Toole GA Club and all that.
Oh yeah.
So Paddy fought in Stephen's Green, then went across College of Surgeons. Then at the end of the week when the surrender happened, he was arrested, shipped off to Frongoc in Wales to a prison camp. So when he returned...
He must be very young.
He was probably at the time, he was born, I think, in 96. So he was about 20 at the time, teens, 20 and that sort of thing, you know. So when he returned, he was quite undernourished in that. So Dr. Kathleen Lynn arranged for nurses to be attached to each person. And she assigned Bridget Davis. Bridget had fought in City Hall. She was a nurse in City Hall. And she was imprisoned for 3 or 4 days after the Rising in Kilmainham Jail. So she had the experience of nursing. So naturally, she was assigned to Paddy. And the two of them married in 1921.
They hit it off.
They actually met through the Rising in that.
And Dr. Kathleen Lynn, you mentioned.
Dr. Kathleen Lynn was very, very much. Bridget then, when Kathleen Lynn founded Alton's, I think it was about 1919, and Bridget helped her out a lot there and that, you know.
But her name has been mentioned a lot lately because people are trying to get
Oh, absolutely, yeah, particularly with the new Children's Hospital and that, you know.
But it's not.
And the thing about it was that they were friends throughout their life. So Kathleen Lynn actually left Bridget her medical box, and it's on display in Kilmainham with Bridget's tunic. Bridget actually kept her tunic from that week. So,
extraordinary heritage.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
And the bookbinding carried on.
Paddy went back after that, and after they hadn't married at the stage, naturally. He went back after 1916 to Dollard's. He completed his apprenticeship.
His apprenticeship was literally interrupted by this, Rising, but he goes back.
And, you know, it was happening with a lot of people throughout the city, so there was no problems in that. He went back, he finished his apprenticeship, and after that, they married 1921. They moved up to Preston Street. And right beside Amiens Street Station. And Bridget would go down and she'd collect Kitty Kiernan and bring her up to the house in Preston Street. Harry Boland would call, collect her there, bring her off to Michael Collins, you know. And then the terrible thing was that a few years later, Harry Boland and Michael Collins were both killed on opposite sides in the Civil War.
Yes. But the important part for your story is that he sets up Duffy's book.
No, he didn't actually start the business. He started, my father was born in 1925, you know.
Yes.
And his middle name was Alton. And his godmother was Rosie Hackett, who was my grandmother's friend throughout their life, you know. And in fact, Christmas Eve, when you'd go to visit somebody, my visit was Rosie down on Bryan Road.
Go ahead.
This would be the late 1960s and that sort of thing, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
lovely memories to have.
Yeah, they were lovely, yeah. Rosie was bedridden at this stage and that, you know, and she'd get on. So going on, my grandfather then went to work in Healy Toms. My father came in then and he served his apprenticeship in Healy Toms. And it was very, very common in the print industry that if apprenticeships were coming up, that people would say, well, look, my son is looking for a job, whether it be a printer or a compositor or a bookbinder or anything like that. And that's why there are so many relationships, you might say, throughout the whole printing industry and that, you know. But 1970, then Smurfit's were taken over. He was going to be changed from one place to another. And he had met my mother, Kathleen. And Kathleen had worked as a table hand, which was to do a folding and all that in the print industry and that, you know. And the two of them in 1970 set up Duffy Bookbinders. And that was set up at the back of the house in Benevon Road. 1978, we moved down to the Five Lamps. And unfortunately, at that time, my father took ill. So I was 22. My brother, Pat, was 16. And the two of us took over the business then, you know.
And it's still going strong,
yeah.
Tommy, how many of the Duffy family members are now involved in the bookbinders?
It is completely all family. Right. There's my father, Tom, my uncle, Pat, and then my mother, Patricia. She'd also be in there now a few days. She would have done all the days. She's in there a few days now, a week
she's
as well.
She's
in there at the moment working away, actually. On her sewing machine, and then obviously myself. So I was the fourth generation then to come in. So I started my apprenticeship in 1997.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you become a bookbinder if someone was entering the trade? Not that there's any way of getting into the Duffy one unless you're related.
Well, I suppose for myself at the time, it was just natural progression. I was sort of, like any family business, you know, when there's days off school, unfortunately, you were brought in around and you were hanging around and you were watching the clock and
nothing's
when you
talked
got to
about
go home.
But the family business.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And that's it. So I was always around the place. Summer holidays then, I was helping out and there was never ever pressure put on me to go into it, but I just always felt like, no, I felt this is what I wanted to do. And I enjoyed, I had to say, I always enjoyed being around my dad and my uncle and whatnot, and it was always fun and it was always good laugh.
But you still had to go to college, didn't you? Was it Bolton Street, which was DIT?
Yeah, and in 1997, when you were serving your apprenticeship, you went to Bolton Street. You would have done sort of 6 months working, six months Bolton Street.
And what was the course called?
At the time, it was, I would have been just bookbinding. It was just bookbinding.
It
would have been a larger range of bookbinding. I would have been more from the hand end. There was another fella at the time who was serving his apprenticeship with Antiquarian Bookcrafts. So again, he would have been very much involved in the hand bookbinding. The rest of the people would have worked for binderies probably within a lot of the large printers.
Yeah.
So it could have been sort of, whether it was guillotine operators and folding machines and perfect binders and mullers and the likes.
Oh, you're using words already that I'm enjoying. What's a muller?
Well, the muller would usually be like the saddle stitch books or the perfect bound books, and they would have been working there.
Perfect bound, which is
a paperback book. Paperback book, yeah.
And bookbinding is still going on in Ireland. We assume probably that this business
will
be extinct.
Well, really,
Tom,
I suppose. A lot, if you go back to the 60s and the 70s, the bookbinding was nearly a service to the print industry. So as the print industry was hit, it affected a lot of the bookbinding as well. Like technology, you know, was a huge downer on the whole printing industry, particularly in that time. Like you think that within a few years, the biggest printing contracts in the country, which is the phone book, the Golden Pages, airline tickets, were all gone. Then slowly after that, checkbooks, you know, an awful lot was being hit by technology.
Diaries.
Also, diaries were gone. Nobody wants diaries anymore, you know. But not only that what happened then was a lot of the bigger printers did not keep their own bookbinding division.
Right.
And a number of bookbinders like Jonathan Newman started in the 1960s. And when Johnny started it, he was the first big bookbinders to service the print industry as solely a bookbinder, if you know what I mean. There were small bookbinders, but they were the first ones. So it now suited the print industry a lot that you didn't have to try and keep your own binding section and that it could be let out. So naturally, when this happened, it affected the apprenticeships, you know.
Of course.
And then as apprenticeships were affected, then the School of Printing was affected. So the School of Printing eventually had to close. And now that if you look at printing, it has changed so much. It's digital printing everywhere now, you know. And, you know, there is a great advantage in that, Oliver, insofar as that people can produce small runs of books. They don't, which wouldn't have been viable in Leitha with Leitha that, you know.
Tommy, but you made it sound like some of the tools from yesteryear and the kind of practices are still in place when it comes to binding.
We would certainly have we would certainly have the tool and the machinery that would have been 100 years ago that people were still using. Yeah. They wouldn't always be in as much use at the moment, but well, I mean, we still would have the hand tools that for the golds and foiling and whatnot. We would still... My mother, who was, as I left the place, she was sewing hospital registers. We would still do a lot of hospital registers. That would be still a big part.
Yeah, because we're not digitalised.
Because people, unfortunately, I think they still need something written down. God forbid anything happens and they need that information quickly, you know.
Yeah.
So as I left there, our sewing machine, which is early 19th century, she was working away sewing hospital register on that need to be out by Tuesday. So
incredible. Very surprised.
Yeah, we would still have a look. Ludlow machine, which is for setting type to hot metal, which would have been used in the print industry in letterpress printing, you know. And Tricia works on the machine, the two of them at the same age, you know, and the machine was 1956, so that'll tell you what it was. Still working away there this morning as well.
A lot of the time,
keeping it going.
We could have a printer coming in for doing a job for her, and he could be like my father in his 50s and 60s, and he walks in and he sees we have a Ludlow, and my goodness, you have a Ludlow, I haven't seen one in years. And we're going, yeah, it's not on today, but we're working it tomorrow. And
I presume it makes a very joyful clanking sort of.
It does, yes. All mechanical. We actually because they're often hard to get. Sometimes if someone offered us one, we'd often take it. And at one stage, we had three, and we really didn't have room for the third one. So we get on very well with the National Print Museum. They're good friends of us, and we asked them, "Would you want to take our spare Ludlow?" And they happily took it. So we were laughing that basically the print museum and ourselves, we are sharing the same machinery, and we're still working them. They have them in the museum.
I presume the reference to the guillotine is trimming the
trim. Trimming and cutting boards to the likes, yes.
Yeah. What kind of books, what other books? You mentioned hospital registers. What else are you binding now that your business relies on, I suppose, that's different from before?
Well, as the years went on, Pat and myself, you know, we're going to have to start cutting back in that. You know, we can't keep going at the same thing. So we decided a number of years ago, the ordinary trade was dying a death, Oliver, that's being honest with you. And we saw this option for handmade notebooks of a good quality, made in Ireland, with a really strong paper. There's 160 gram paper in it, so people could use it for sketch and all this and the other. So we made up a couple of samples. And the first place I went into was the Pen Corner in Dame Street, which is now gone. You know, and went in and said, "Look, we have an idea. Would you stock them?" They looked at it and went, "We'd stock them tomorrow." You know,
right?
So then we said, "Okay, well now we got a product." You know, so after that, we knew that there was a big, big option, wasn't it, Tommy, for corporate? You know, for people to brand it themselves.
Yeah, well, I think that spun itself really once we started producing our own notebooks. And as my dad says, we said, "Look, we're going to do it right." And an awful lot of the process in the notebooks is still carried out by hand. You know, we're still like yesterday. We were only making covers yesterday. So like my mom is gluing out the claw through the Swift glue.
You brought
machine.
In some beautiful
you have some in front of
some
you there.
Notebooks here, and that nice material feel.
Nice linen material feel.
Cloth.
And it's the five lamps which you described already, the heritage of that and the reason behind it.
We're just situated there. We're on Savile Terrace. We originally were Savile Place, but the five lamps is only yards away. And I think over the years when you were given directions or if someone said to someone, "I'm working in Duffy Bookbinders," they go, "I know you, you're just down by the five lamps." So the five lamps was always the landmark that everyone used when they were thinking of
it. It's a good solid product. People love this.
Oh yes.
It's really
what's happened in the world, considering diaries and other things have disappeared, and people love a notebook.
I think people have gone back to wanting to write down, you know, like journaling, as we know, has just become absolutely massive, you know. Yeah. I think people even they like the feel of just
an actual book in their hand.
Yeah, a book in a hand.
And it's easier to remember things you've handwritten.
Yeah. It is 100%. So,
and doodling and sketching.
A lot now would be sketching. And it's amazing the requests. You know, the other day there was an email, somebody in India, "Does anybody in India stock your notebooks?" You know, but unfortunately not. But, you know.
Does that mean you can't get them from abroad?
Sure. Well, to be honest with you, the biggest problem with the likes of books, Oliver, is the sheer weight of them. To ship them to the States is shocking money. It's nearly the price.
Where can we get the notebooks? Where can we buy the?
Be bought online. They can be bought in a number of stores around town and that. If you go onto our website, you can see they're there. But there's a number of stores,
Duffy
a number of bookshops.
DuffyBookbinders.ie.
Get the sale.
And also there are things like... repairing antiquarian books and things like that?
Yeah, it's a part of the business that we have moved on a little bit from at the moment. It's very time consuming repairing books. Mm-hmm. And I think with the notebooks that we're in a position now where, as my dad said, he's cutting back. He's trying to cut back. He's supposed to be cutting back, but I don't know if that will ever really fully happen. And so it gives us a chance to plan out our week. It makes it a bit easier. But, you know, even though we're not really taking on repairs at the moment, it's the type of work you can always go back to and whatnot.
Some people do look for bespoke things.
But we would still like, you know, there was a number of customers over the years. We always did for the Irish Tech Society, the Irish Manuscripts Commissions and whatnot. We would still take on binding for them and all.
Tom, tell us about the man with the leather trousers.
Oh, the man with the leather trousers. Yeah, it was this guy. He travelled the world in any case, and he had all photographs made into a book, and he wanted to get them bound in any case. So he came in and he was saying, takes out this pair of trousers, which had seen better days, you know, and he says, I was thinking maybe if you cut up my trousers, we could bind it into that. And we noticed he had a sort of a canvas knapsack with him, you know, and he said, did you bring that in your travels as well? And he says, I did, yeah. I said, I think that's a better option, you know, because I can imagine going out to the lads and throwing his trousers there and saying, yeah, did you ever make a book out of that? You know?
So you did, you covered it, was it?
Oh, yeah, we did. It turned out very well because canvas, you know, like book cloth, when we buy in book cloth, it actually is a paper backing on it for when you glue it. So the glue doesn't come through it, you know. So you line the canvas with paper, you press that, and then you can use that as the cover. Oh, yeah, wallpaper, everything.
But Michael Flatley never came back again. No. It wasn't him. Lots of lovely messages coming in. I have a big fairy tale book which I got for Christmas one year, and we had it rebound in Duffy's. I also lived in Portland Row, just up the road from says Maraid. Tom Duffy and family are neighbours in Seville Terrace. A wonderful bunch with gorgeous notebooks and a fascinating man who loves the arts as well. Mm-hmm. It could be either of you, Tom. Angela, I remember when the Dollards printed most of the cash dockets for the big retail and wholesale business in Ireland. Yeah. Of course, back then every single sale produced a written receipt.
That's right.
Loads of
and
paper.
And these things killed the printing industry, you know.
They did Duffy Bookbind. A great company that provides beautiful notebooks that you can give as presents. Beautiful art still in our culture, says Una, because it is a family craft. Mm-hmm. As you're saying, the old machines.
I think that's what the biggest success with the notebooks has been, is that someone's going in and they're not just buying a notebook. There's a story behind it, you know. Like it is, there's four generations behind it. It's still done by family. It's still done a lot of the process in the traditional way. As I always say, it's not just a notebook, it's a story. You know?
It's remarkable that you've kept it going this long. Mm-hmm. When are you going to hand over the reins now, Tom?
He has them.
Does he? I didn't notice
really,
that,
Tom?
Actually.
He'd be looking for you on a day off.
And also someone thanking you for the bespoke book for a guest to sign on the wedding day, which is something they will always cherish. Brilliant. Patrick and Kildare.
So that's brilliant.
Lovely
brilliant.
Part of the business as well. Lovely. But people will find out more about yourselves and the company and the history and what you do. DuffyBookbinders.ie.
That's it.
As simple as that. A happy retirement, Tom.
Thanks, Oliver.
If you ever take it.
I'll be retired before him, I would imagine.
Tom and Tommy Duffy, thanks a million. Good luck. I want to jump back to the Duffy's Bookbinders before we go. A message is lovely to hear the Duffy's on the radio this morning. Tommy made a bespoke book. Oh, that's the wedding one, which I've done already. Someone says, I'm obsessed with notebooks and my bank account does not thank you for featuring the lads this morning. We'll be placing an order immediately, says Orla. There are beautiful books. I'll take a photograph and put them on my Instagram straight away after the show. They bound my thesis when in college, says Philip of the Duffy's. Another one says, I remember using big school roll books for years as a primary teacher. Of course, remember those, and they're kept in storage, I presume. I thought it a pity when it all went online and the roll books filled in each day by hand disappeared, says Pat. And someone had an idea for an 80th birthday in 2016. They looked after her, as Duffy's Bookbinders.ie will do.